Well, good morning, church. It is an honor and a pleasure and just such a joy to be here anytime that this opportunity is given to me. I feel so stressed and so sweaty, but so excited and so happy that it is a gift to be here with all of you. And yet we're just going to acknowledge we did get new lights. Okay, we're just going to say it out loud this week that we did get some new lights. Some of our staff from Orleans has worked incredibly long hours this past week to upgrade some of the lighting for us. And so if you're joining us online, you can probably see my pores, and you're welcome. Looking extra crisp today, I think. So be super gracious as our lighting team is exploring and trying and doing all sorts of new things. So if I turn green, it's just, we're going to go with it and it's meant to be and it's okay. And you guys are doing great at the back. We love you so much. Okay, so today is week 2 of our community study. Now, show of hands, who here is like a sports parent? You have any kid that's involved in sports, maybe even like any activity. It could be dance. Yeah, Kate, there's like 4 of you. That is such a lie. Like wave your hand. Oh, some people are like, I'm drowning. Yeah, okay. So sports parents. Okay. I can't tell you how many times my kids obviously play sports. We've talked about it. It's common knowledge here. But my kids play sports, okay? So I have sitting through practices, tournaments, games of, swimming, lacrosse, hockey, football, all the things, okay? I tell you, I still don't know the rules. Like, I'm still watching things and I'm like, come on, ref. Like, I feel a deep vengeance and like a lot of feelings. And I have many opinions for someone who has no awareness of anything. But I have proximity to all of these things. I have attended hundreds of hours of sports over the last many, many years. And many of you are the same. Now, some of you, maybe you're not living that life, but maybe you have like the gold standard, like TSN Pro whatever package where 24/7 you have access to sports, okay? So maybe this is your life. You come home, you grab your big old bag of chips and your extra large pop and you sit on your couch and you recline and you're like, oh, and you hit the clicker. And you just know in your heart of hearts that if the World Cup teams would just text you and call you and just bring you in, if they would just ring you up and say, like, help, you could solve it all. You just know this. Some of you feel, you're like, this is my journey that the Lord is bringing me. I'm so sorry it's not. You know, being around sports, observing, caring, and it could be sports, it could be music, it could be whatever. Just being around my kids and cheering them on and supporting them and loving them and paying for them to do these things, it has given me zero athletic ability. It has not imparted any skill to me that is noticeable. Like maybe next year. I don't know, maybe next year is my year. But so far, nothing's happened other than me having a lot of opinions on a lot of things. But I do it all under my breath because what if they come to church on Sunday? I constantly am like, what if I'm sitting beside someone who goes to our church? And I'm like insulting the ref who's like 14 years old. I'm like, oh, Jesus needs to help me constantly. So pray for me. I know many of you are in the same position. It's okay. It hasn't imparted any skill to me. I have zero talent, okay? So in the same sense, I'm not going to go to someone who thinks of themselves as a mechanic just because they have a great car. I'm not going to trust someone who says, I am a survivalist just because their favorite show is Survivor. I'm not taking advice from that. Now, some of these things, it sounds so obvious, right? It sounds obvious. But there's so many areas of life where this type of thing can happen, and it might not seem as obvious. You know, I have had seasons personally where I've been to church, clearly you know what my life is, but I've had seasons where I've been to church a lot. I've heard regular preaching, I've listened, I've kind of adapted to the culture of the church. I've learned some songs. I've even sat in the same section. Like, you know, put your hand up if you have a favorite section. Like, you all do. It's so funny and so obvious. Like, people are like, oh, someone's in my seat. Like, you know, it's okay. We're not those people, but like secretly in our hearts, we kind of are sometimes. So you might even know a couple of the names of the people who like sit around you. I've been in that place too. where, you know, I'm attending, I'm going, I'm this, I'm that. But nothing inside of me had actually revolutionized or changed. Inside of me stayed the same. I was still anxious. I was still really quick to get angry about things. And I would often go outside of Jesus to cope with those feelings or with those struggles. You might find yourself in that position today, feeling a disconnect between how you're living and where you might like to be. Being around spiritual things doesn't automatically make you formed by them. You can be present somewhere, but not transformed. Proximity or closeness or attendance to an event, it can elicit a certain response, for sure. Attending your favorite concert, maybe like triple mortgaging your house to get World Cup tickets, I have no doubt that that would be a fantastic experience. Could be a core memory that's locked away in your head later where you're like, oh, that was so good. Remember that time? Proximity to events, people, places, unbelievable talent, proximity and closeness to it can be awe-inspiring. It can be a source of inspiration. It could be fun. It could cause a lot of admiration. But it doesn't guarantee any internal change. An important distinction that we're going to think through this morning. We are not formed by simply being around people. We are formed by practicing the way of Jesus together. Now, if you're like me, maybe you've assumed if I attend something enough, I'll grow. I'm still assuming that when it comes to sports. Like, if I sit here long enough, I'll be good at things, you know? And if I'm not, then I'm going to quit and leave. It's really easy to get that consumer mentality, you know, when it comes to faith, where it's like, if I'm not getting exactly what I think I want, bye. Francis Chan, in his book, Crazy Love, he says this: many of us have experienced being in church for years, and yet there's been little deep change. There's a lot of people who may be familiar to us, but few who really know us. Now, why does this happen? It's because we have confused proximity, meaning being around, with actual formation, internal change. We've confused attendance to somewhere with actual apprenticeship to Jesus. In reality, we will not float miraculously into spiritual formation. We're not going to accidentally wander into so much wisdom. We're formed through intentional day-to-day practices. So let's look at the way of Jesus to help us understand that. God's chosen people, they were given a theological and cultural map where all of their practices had meaning as a community in relationship with the living God. We are formed by Jesus through shared lives and practices. In Mark 3, it says this: he appointed 12 so that they might be with him and he might send them out. He didn't say, where are my thousands? Where are my 1,600 Instagram friends? No, no. He appointed 12. He highlighted the unique God-given relationship that he would have with them. He gave them authority. They would serve as eyewitnesses to his ministry, his death, his resurrection. They would be the foundation of the coming church. Mark records this. He records how they traveled, they ate, they rested with him. Before they would preach or teach or be sent out, they had to be with him. Relationship precedes the ministry, and time in his presence shapes character. Jesus didn't come to just give out information packets about salvation and reconciliation. Instead, he invited people, a small group of people, into shared daily rhythms. He leaned into daily life together. They ate together, slept together, and participated in repeated practices that positioned them and us, if we'll engage in it, to be transformed radically from our old nature to a new Christ-like nature. True and real formation, internal change, begins by being with Jesus and his people. After Jesus left the disciples, ascending to heaven, as the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, we see that through the Spirit, they understood what Jesus told them to do. As people heard the gospel and were saved, the early church, the book of Acts tells us that the early church, they did this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, this is all over Acts, this story of the early church, and it was a day-to-day committed practice. And it is the same way that we have been designed, to need community, to need comfort, to need accountability, encouragement. You may think you're a bit of a lone wolf or like a solitary creature, and yeah, we all have different levels of introversion, extroversion, whatever. But you've not been designed to be alone. Now, when you think of being devoted, as the early church was, devoted, they use this word, they devoted themselves. What does devoted mean? We often think about it in terms of like family or like a husband-wife relationship, a devoted spouse. And it means that you really know the person. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to give things up. You're willing to spend time truly understanding them. You're willing to protect them. You're willing to learn their personality. We are called to be devoted in this way to knowing God through his word by his spirit. But there's a rhythm to this. It is not a once a week thing. It's not occasional. It's not a part-time endeavor that you kind of do on the side. This is meant to be the central defining compass of our lives. And it is shared. Following the way of Jesus, if we truly want to live like Jesus, and if we want to model ourselves after the Christians who went first, the way, it means that life together is non-negotiable. Now, lots of us run into a roadblock at this point. When you hear something like this, you're like, oh, it's difficult sometimes. We can read our Bible on our own. We all have access to it. It didn't used to necessarily be like that, but now, on your phone, bam, you can read it by yourself. You can listen to a podcast on your own. You can pray on your own. When I think of my everyday faith, I know that for me, it often does look like that. Because it's easy and it kind of fits into my life where like I'll pray on the way to work and then I'll read my Bible alone in my office. And I'll listen to a podcast as I'm working. And suddenly days will go by where I have not necessarily wrestled out my faith with fellow believers. I have to intentionally work against that. Now, historically, most of life was just lived out together. You had to rely on people for food, for shelter, for hunting, for cooking. Families stayed within a range of kilometers with each other, right? Travel was limited to what you could do on like either walking or like a boat or maybe a donkey or a wolf, whatever you rode, I don't know. Oxen, I don't know, buffalo, what did people ride? Camels, yeah, camels. What did people ride and where did they go? I don't know. But travel was limited. There was a forced and natural necessity of community. It was often a matter of life or death. If you left your community, that isolation could often just result in complete death. We needed each other. Now we all have the luxury, although I don't know if it's a luxury or more of like a curse, of internet friendships. You can be friends with people you've literally never actually met. You can have a fully stocked fridge and incredible meals without ever leaving your home. And you can have unlimited entertainment without ever interacting with a single person. It is so much easier to live a completely solitary life, and by extension of this, a solitary spirituality and walk. Now, don't get me wrong. When I read the Bible, I see this, that in faith, in life with Jesus, there are absolutely moments where you will be on your own. In studying the Old Testament, we see many of the prophets had to do things on their own. They were asked to accomplish specific tasks in specific seasons on their own. Sometimes God will ask us to be on our own, but never alone. Now, here's the thing. We don't lack opportunity for those moments. I don't lack, despite access to everything, I have so much opportunity to isolate. Culture drives me to be alone. Culture tells me that what I should do, what the right thing to do, is to present a fake and a polished public image in whatever way, and to keep everything else private. That's what culture tells me, and it's what it's telling you is the right thing to do. What we actually lack is space to wrestle out our faith together. My formation and yours comes through a communal devotion to Scripture, to meals and shared life, to prayer and generosity. What they learned from Jesus is that growth happens as each person engages. The Apostle Paul, when he was setting culture for the churches in Ephesus, he gave them this advice: speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up. Now, this is advice that he's giving to a church as a body. Promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. With Christ as our head of the church, we are to grow, building each other up, needing to engage. Not one person needing to engage, not a couple people needing to engage, but each one, each individual part. The writer of Hebrews echoes this exact same sentiment. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider this. So consider this as I'm saying it to you. Consider this: how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not how can Pastor Mitch on a Sunday stir up 500 people to good works. Not how can one influencer stir people up to good works. No, stir one another up. Stir each other up. Each member of the body has that responsibility. You don't grow by watching. I am not a better hockey player. I'm not a better singer because I'm around people that can sing well. You grow by engaging. We grow by the church, you and me, using our gifts properly and together. So where proximity, just being around something, will fail us, practices together will actually form us. As we devote ourselves to the practices, we become a representation of what we will repeatedly do and who we consistently walk with. This is why, and this testimony could not have been shown on a better week. The practice of prayer shapes dependence on God, but on each other. By choosing to share a prayer request with someone, you are involving the body of Christ into your life. By choosing to pray for someone and carrying that weight alongside them, you are doing exactly what you are meant to do. By sharing meals together, the practice of sharing meals, not like once a year we shared a meal together, the practice. Remember, these are all meant to be practices, daily practices, weekly practices, the rhythm of life. By sharing meals together, it shapes our belonging. If you've attended Rooted, you've seen that firsthand. Or if you have a small group and you eat together. Side note about Rooted, registration is open. Everyone gets their phone out. In community, going through the practice of scripture reading. And I cannot overestimate how important this is. When I read the Bible by myself, you know what I bring to it, even if I don't want to? I bring my worldview. I bring my experience. I bring my perspective and my intention and what I would like it to say, even if I fight against it. And you know what helps? You know what's strong, like what will stop that in its tracks? Reading scripture together. Because what I bring is different than what Mitch brings. And so whether Mitch and Rob like it or not, I have designated them my scripture argument people here. And they both know this. It's just, this is what happens. But this is so important. If you do not have someone that you can call, like think about this question. If you're reading the Bible, who do you call or what do you do when you reach something where you're like, oh, what does this mean? Other than ChatGPT, man, like other than like the Google and the whatever you want to do there, like who do you call? Do you have a person to call? If you don't have a person to call, Pastor Rob's email is on our website. And he can't hear me in Jesus' name. It's fine. I'm kidding. But those are important people, vital in your life, that you have someone that you can wrestle through difficult scripture with. And if you are looking for that place, maybe your next step is actually Life Center College or Discipleship Night, because those places exist in our church. And it is important that every single one of you have that place. It could look like a small group. It doesn't have to be one of those, but they exist here. The communal practice of confession, it shapes humility. It humbles us. Sharing vulnerable things with each other creates trust, creates depth. It gives us insight into people to realize, oh my gosh, I never knew. I never knew that about that person. But me too. I feel the same, you know? Community. Community is not the context of discipleship, it's the method of discipleship. So where are you present in your faith but not practicing? Are you around people but not being formed with them? What rhythms actually take up your days? God designed and is longing for a church where people do not just attend, they're actually being formed. Where faith is practiced daily. It's not just something you believe, it's something you do. Where growth is visible and not just theoretical. This week, where is the Holy Spirit calling all of us to deepen our devotion? It could look like engaging in a meal with someone. It could look like calling someone up and saying, hey, we're going to fight about the Bible. In a good way, with love, but it's important. We are formed, whether we like it or not, in community by groups that actually see us and actually know us. You're not formed by a crowd where you just happen to share one interest in a celebrity or a sport or the opening of a restaurant. Listen, when Olive Garden opens, I'm there. It's coming. It's exciting. Pastor Jason said it really well last week. He said we get to choose our hard. It is hard to live in community. There is zero doubt. I say this in the office all the time about myself and about everyone, is that people will people. Like people will do people things. It's a guarantee. The way I people is different than the way you people, and the way I people might annoy you. And I'm so sorry. But living in community is a non-negotiable for the way of Jesus. One of the best examples that I've witnessed of community was my own youth pastor. They had three little kids at the time, and they had us at their house all the time. All the leaders there. We were there. When I look back and I think, like, wow, they were trying to put their kids to bed, and we were just yelling and talking and, like, singing. Like, no awareness. I was, like, 17, 18. They're trying to put a toddler to bed, and I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? Like, unbelievable, the ignorance, but they were willing to go through all of these things for community with us. They fed us. Food's expensive. They let us mess up their house. Their kids went to bed late sometimes. They made sacrifices to build community. That's just what happens. That's just what you have to do to let people in. But the alternative, like, yeah, that might seem a bit hard, especially if you're like, ugh, that's not my vibe. Maybe a little bit could be your vibe. Maybe a coffee at Tim Hortons could be your vibe. The alternative to this is so much harder, and it's so dangerous. It's loneliness. It's isolation. It's living in a way where you feel unknown, unacknowledged, and unconnected. So as we close today, before I pray and before Sarah comes to close, I pray that all of us today would move from proximity to practice, that the Holy Spirit would absolutely highlight places in our lives where we have said that it is okay if we live a completely solitary faith. Because I'll just tell you flat out, that's not okay. That's not the design. You'll hit a roadblock if you are living your faith by yourself. So let's pray. Lord, you are the ultimate designer of what life is meant to look like. And God, thank you that you let us try and try and try again. And so, Lord, as we go into the world after today, Lord, would you highlight specific places where we've been just edging into solitary life, where we've been deciding that we can just do this on our own. Because yeah, it is easier to read scripture by myself with no one to challenge me. It's easier to eat alone than to cook for 5 or 6 people. Lord, would you challenge that in us? Would you create just such a deep, deep compassion for each other, God, that as we go into the world as the body, that each unique gift rises up, God, that we would recognize it, that we would stir up one another, God, and that we would do life together. In Jesus' name, I break isolation off of people's lives today, where people have been told that they're undeserving of friendship or of community. We call that what it is, a lie. Would you speak truth into hearts, God, where they feel so alone, where they feel like they're the only person that has ever experienced what they're experiencing? In Jesus' name, break that lie off of them. Lord, we pray for open hearts, God. Give us the courage to try again to build community, God. And give us the strength and the grace to actually see what it looks like to be in community years from now. God, that it isn't a one-time thing, but God, that it's actually knowing your children and caring for them and seeing them through the ups and downs, God. Because that is your desire for the church, God. That the church is a daily rhythm, God, of these practices, of knowing you, of eating together, of wrestling through scripture, and of growing our faith, of sharpening each other, God. So Lord, I pray for this group of people, God, in front of me, for those of us that are online, Lord, and for all the rest of Life Center, God, and every church that is gathering this morning in the city of Ottawa. Lord, would you be the center? And would you move mightily in each one of us, God, declaring that we have responsibility, that we have ownership in the body of Christ, God, that we are not useless, that we have gifts to share, that we have abilities that other people need, that we have conversations and wisdom and insight that is desperately needed beyond just any Sunday sermon, God. The body needs each other. And so, Lord, bless these people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.